재미와 지식의 오디오 라이프 팝빵.
We turn now to Australia, where fast food businesses will no longer be able to sponsor foreign workers on temporary visas unless they can prove a specific need. The Ministry for Immigration and Border Protection, the minister, Peter Dutton, said in a statement that he will end this industry labor agreement for the fast food industry, which started back in 2012 and saw hundreds of foreigners granted 457 visas to work at these fast food outlets to fill so-called skills shortages. This is the first time that an entire sector has been banned from sponsoring overseas workers. And to tell us more about the ramifications of this, we do understand a lot of Koreans like to travel to Australia, including on temporary work visas. Very pleased to have from Queensland University of Technology, Senior Research Fellow in Management, Dr. Robin Mays. Hello.
Hello, Henry. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for joining us. Can you first talk about this specific visa? I'm not sure if you term it a 457 or 457 visa and why it was introduced.
Sure. It's actually called a 457 visa. And it was introduced in the mid-1990s, its precursor, called the Temporary Long Stay Business Visa. And when this was brought in at that time, it marked a radical shift in Australia's immigration policy. So that's when we saw Australia move very much from a humanitarian-based and settlement-based immigration policy to a policy designed to attract flexible transnational workers. And it emerged along with, as it did in many other OECD countries, the recognition that there were significant skill shortages, for example, in the mining boom times here in Australia, and also that governments no longer wanted necessarily to have long-term settlement, but wanted to be able to attract workers when they needed this. So very much a visa driven by business needs around flexibility and a perception of specific skill shortages. It's never been a popular visa in many ways, with unions, for example, who always saw that Australians should invest more money in training, and which is one of the reasons why the visa has been through numerous re-evaluations over its time, is because any visa for any government is a complex balance between meeting the needs of industry, trying to look after transnational communities, and also to make sure that the local national population don't perceive they're missing out on jobs. In terms of the broader, you know, world turn to temporary migration, the Australian 457 visa is seen to be one of the best visas because it provides spouses, for example, full working rights.
Hmm. Can you help us understand then the issue a little bit better, or even the controversy of the debate as far as the fast food sector is concerned? We normally think of the fast food occupation, if you're working there, as not a necessarily skilled trade, and you don't necessarily think of it as a high-paying trade. So the idea that these visas are being issued for people to work seemed to imply that local Australians were not necessarily apt to find these jobs desirable. But is the idea to revoke this, sort of this idea that the businesses, these fast food companies are exploiting workers?
Yeah, I think that is a large part of the public motivation here. First of all, the 457 visa was designed to bring in skilled workers, and it has always been criticised for having far too wide a range of jobs that come under its ambit. And one of the reasons it's been criticised is because it was a means for industry to argue that that there were shortages. It was incumbent on them to show it, and traditionally that has been accepted, and then we've ended up with a very wide range of jobs. But I also want to point out that the 457 visa is not the only way in which people enter the country for temporary work, and particularly for, you're quite right, unskilled work in the hospitality sector. And so many of the ways that people come in are through things such as working holiday maker visas, for example, and other student education visas. And these both have rights to work attached to them. And this is where I think most of the lower-skilled hospitality workers reside. So changes to the 457 visa and erasing that particular industry is quite an interesting move, in that it may not change much, very much at all, except that people who come to work on the working holiday maker visa, for example, are much more limited in how long they can spend in Australia as to the 457 visa holder. So you're quite right. this is not a highly skilled job, and there has been a very strong sense in Australia that we are contributing to the exploitation of vulnerable youth. So, for example, we had the 7-Eleven, you know, scandal. We've had numerous scandals about how largely students have been working for very low rates of pay, scared to say anything because of their visa conditions. The whole thing about these sorts of visas is it's quite easy to become in breach of your conditions and then you become vulnerable.
Being from the United States, when I usually think of a high-skilled visa scheme like the H-1B in the U.S., you normally think of, as you say, workers who fill certain needs where there is a shortage of qualified candidates, like let's say in the IT sector, we need software developers and they bring in people from India or China or what have you. I imagine that is similar to the case in Australia. What you're saying is that with the 457 visa, there is no major move ahead to, from the numbers I see here, that 95,000 people hold the 457 visa to try and remove that completely, because that would seem to have a pretty detrimental effect overall on the Australian economy.
It certainly would. And as I said before, the 457 visa is a principal means of entry to the country. I think the most recent research conducted by the Productivity Commission last year showed, however, that only 50% of people on 457 visas converted to permanent residence. Mm. And I think this is an interesting balance now, because many national governments are also not wanting to attract permanent residents who then may become a burden on the state when there's no longer work. So it's about managing flows of transnational capital, transnational workers for transnational capital. So here in Australia, for example, many of the people that I've done research with in the 457 industry are, for example, engineers mm-hmm. or doctors or academics. You know, there's a whole range of you know, employment areas that come under it. One of the interesting things about the 457 visa, though, was it was meant to make sure that transnational workers were employed exactly the same rate or the same minimum rate right. as Australian workers. You know, so that was meant to avoid that kind of exploitation. And there have been a few cases where it's become evident that the visa itself can be seen as a form of bonded labour, in that workers must maintain their sponsorship. And I think this is one of the new changes, isn't it, to more broadly to the 457 visa, is that your 90-day opportunity to find a new sponsor should you become unemployed with your current sponsor has been reduced again to 60 days. But there's no way they're just going to... I would be astonished if the 457 visa was, you know, scrapped in its entirety.
Right. And we see similar debates raging in different countries, whether it's the United States, to a lesser extent here in Korea as well, as how to solve the problem of youth unemployment, but at the same time make sure we do attract highly skilled, productive members of societies from abroad, but trying to find that difficult balance. In your view, from the Australian context, what policy measures, what do you think the Australian government can do to try and strike that elusive balance?
Well, I think it can do a few things, and I think firstly it could raise the importance of social justice in, you know, many people on a range of temporary visas in Australia and many other countries around the world are subject to very poor conditions just simply because they live their lives around a series of uncertain regulations and temporal frameworks. They might be here for a while, they settle down roots and they have to change to another visa and then another visa and the conditions change, and we are creating a kind of global flow of disenfranchised workers, and I think we should not be part of that. If we want to think about youth and how we might have policies around this, we need to be thinking about how we create better training programs for youth ourselves and how we raise the profile of particular industries. Mm. So while you might come here as a highly paid chef, let's say, you know, the people doing kitchen hand work or wait staffing, you know, are still the people who are not here on 457 visas.
Right.
They're here on working holiday maker visas. And there are plenty of Australians doing these jobs.
Right.
Let's face it, they are not careers. They're not proper jobs in
right.
many respects.
We are going to have to leave it there, unfortunately. But thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Mays. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Henry. It was my pleasure.